Backseat Producers, episode number 305, Drinking Buddies.
Except for, like, he always picks the worst day. Hey, I'm coming through. Let's have lunch. Not today, man. Sorry.
Also, doesn't he live in that area?
Yeah, and he works in Clayton.
Like, he has to pass you every day.
Yeah. Oh, it's coming through. Yeah, this is the day that I can't do it. Don't call me at 12:15 asking if I can do lunch. Call me at 10, and I will tell you then if I can do lunch.
He asked me a bunch of questions about Google Maps the other day. And he's like, well, this is what I'm trying to do. I'm like, I don't know how to do that. I gotta research this.
Is this why you've been asking questions about Google Maps?
Yeah.
I used to know stuff about Google Maps.
Yeah, then they changed it.
Well, this was also 8 years ago, so.
It's changed a couple times.
I figured.
I know a basic amount of it.
Because, like, we were doing simple stuff like feeding it a spreadsheet, and it could map coordinates and give you zones and all kinds of stuff.
You can do that now.
We
really
were creating
easy.
Heat maps out of it.
Yeah, but you can only import it. You can't link it.
Right.
That's what he wants to do. I'm like, I don't think you can do that. How hard would it be to make it do that? I don't know.
You have to buy software. You have to buy...
I don't know enough about it to tell you. Here's the thing. If I can't tell you how I would do it, I can't tell you how long it would take to do it. I think you can do it all from JSON, though. Like, convert your Google spreadsheet into JSON, like GeoJSON. But that's a lot of work.
What is JSON?
JavaScript Object Notation.
Okay.
It's like JavaScript's XML. I actually like it better than XML. It makes more sense. It's easier to read.
Is it an interpreted language, or is it a compiled?
It's really neither. It's kind of like storage.
Okay.
But like representative hierarchically, like a table, but just plain text. So then you can, but JavaScript reads it in such a way that you can like write to it and then read from it from different applications, and they treat it the same way. That's what a lot of web services use as their like backend for the data, because it's, yeah, I don't know, everything in development now is JavaScript for some reason. I don't know why that is, but
ease of use.
It is easy. Known. That's fast.
We haven't done Amelie yet.
That's, I would watch that.
Yeah. Done. Next week.
Amelie. Good movie.
Hate that poster.
It's on Netflix, which makes it easy. Fantastic.
Since this will be our be a good tie-in with Valentine's Day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, is that shiesty thing happening again?
Yes, yep. It is.
What's the date today? The 5th?
Yes.
All yes, right, Valentine's Day is next Friday.
Ugh, on a Friday?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's bullshit, too.
Better have something for your sweetie.
No, I don't celebrate holidays, Daryl.
Not a holiday.
I do. I already have something for Julie, and I'm taking another one out on that night for dinner.
So what are you giving her?
I'm not saying she might...
Taking another one out for dinner, Tony?
Yeah. Daddy-daughter dance.
Oh, the important one.
Yeah.
My dad's birthday is Valentine's Day, so I use that as an excuse just to go see a movie with him instead of doing anything stupid for Valentine's Day.
I think it's something for Sandra myself.
Yeah, I've gotten like electronics and some jewelry and stuff like that for Julie, but I think this year I'm just going to go with some, I already picked up some really nice, soft, comfortable, fuzzy pajamas.
Yeah.
So.
Pajamas
to go.
Like Ogloff told us, women don't want empowerment, the right to vote, or agency in their lives. They just want big fat cocks. That's my favorite thing. Ogloff.
Yes, that's. That guy does have a rather peculiar outlook on relationships.
We did extensive surveys. Your surveys are wrong.
one big fat cock. Oh, God. And I'll go off the best. It's pretty twisted.
Tony, are you reading spoilers for the movie we're going to talk about?
Not spoilers, trivia.
I read the trivia, too.
I didn't read the trivia until just now.
Ah, Tony, you didn't come prepared.
No, I did not.
My new favorite game is, how annoyed is Melina going to get when I make her watch a movie she doesn't want to watch? This week's answer is very.
So let's start. Hey, this is Tony.
This is Daryl.
This is David.
We're the Backseat Producers, and I'm going to take these headphones off because I hate recording while I'm wearing headphones.
I hate recording when I'm wearing headphones, too.
Hey, how about that snow? Don't we just love it?
And we also don't seem to be having the feedback issue Jolie. That we're having. Yeah, well, she is the one not here, so we can blame her this time.
You were hearing estrogen. Yes. That's what you were hearing.
I thought she said it was cold. After all the rock that got pushed through it.
That's right.
Testosterone and rock that got pushed through
On Sunday. It was protesting.
It freaked out. It couldn't handle it. All right, so you were saying the new game you like to play is...
The new game I like to play is, how much is the movie we have to watch for the week going to annoy Melina when we watch it? This week's answer was very. I suspect next week when we watch Amelie, it's going to be very as well.
Probably. Tell her that's your Valentine's present to her.
And here's a spoiler. Next week's movie is Amelie.
Hey, look at that.
Hope there's a bunch of lesbian stuff in it.
We came prepared, sort of.
It's in French, too.
Oh, subtitles.
Oh, yes.
Damn it. We just did that. Why do I do that? Why do I not check these things before I agree to movies?
Maybe this one will have Hitler in it, too.
If it has Hitler in it, I'll be all right.
Yes, but it's French.
If it has a parody of Hitler scene in it, that would be the ideal situation, I think.
Or a mother killing her children.
It has fish suicide.
That's weird.
It's weird.
That's hot.
Yeah, I don't know what to think about that. Mm. All right, so this week we're talking about Drinking Buddies.
Yep.
What'd you think?
Anna Kendrick is so hot.
That's a true fact.
Melina was like, Anna Kendrick does not look good in this movie. And I'm like, yeah, she's next to Olivia Wilde. Come on. That's unfair. I really liked this movie. I didn't know why I really dug this movie until the end when I read the trivia and that this movie was...
completely improvised?
Completely improvised. And I was like, that's why these people feel...
real.
Yeah.
And at times very casual and at other times very uncomfortable. And it came through and that was good. I like that. What'd you think, Darryl?
I was bored shitless.
You and Melina.
I had to stop two or three times to get through this damn thing. I mean, it's not a bad movie, but for the same reason that Adam likes the improvisation, I found that incredibly annoying. I think this movie would have been helped by some dialogue every now and then.
I think it was helped by Olivia Wilde's breasts.
That's a true fact.
I'll give the actors big credit for being able to improvise really well, but I think in this case, it didn't work very well.
For the movie that they presented, it worked, and I think they were really lucky that it worked.
Yes.
I think they got really, really lucky. Because there were certain moments in it, and really the end of the movie, like the very end of the movie, just the way it played out was perfect to wrap up the story. But it was kind of a character study, mostly because they didn't really have a plot.
No. It was like day in the life of.
Yeah. It was very much slice of life.
Hey, one thing. I want to go to work for that company where you can just drink beer all fucking day long.
When you said, I want to, and I was like, where is this going to go?
I know. I mean, I just want to be an ideal job. Just go in and get smashed at 8 o'clock on beer.
It used to...
I don't see how these guys function through the
day. It used to be that way at Anheuser.
Yeah.
Like, I heard stories, because I worked there. I did a summer job, six, 10-week summer job thing there. And they would tell us stories how there were guys who would come in the morning. They would pull out a trash bag, put it in, like, they'd open up one of the drawers, one of the deep drawers in their desk, put the trash bag in, fill it with ice, fill it with beer, close up the drawer, and that was a rum ration. So they wouldn't have to go out to, and we worked in the basement in the warehouse. It's not like you had to go that far to get your beer. But yeah, they did that.
I always work better when I'm soft.
So many functional alcoholics and probably non-functional. Yeah. They said there were times where they'd ask guys to work double shifts and they'd work double shifts. They'd go out to their car, sleep it off. They had shower facilities. They'd come in, shower, work their next day.
Yeah, yes.
Great way to
mollify employee relations, because you really can't get too riled up after you've had a six pack.
That's when I get most riled up.
Yeah, you get surly.
Yeah, I like to wander, Tony. If I've had a six pack and I'm in the same spot for more than 10 minutes, I get uncomfortable. I gotta walk it off. Like I got hit by a baseball.
Well, I'll tell you one thing: these actors can pack away the booze. I don't think I ever saw them one scene without a beer in their hand or a Boilermaker in the other.
That scene in the cabin when they're playing cards, Anna Kendrick is actually drunk.
Yeah, I saw that. That was good.
That's hilarious. So I liked this movie because everybody felt real, and all the relationships were all jacked up, and also felt real.
All the relationships were weird. Some of them were very uncomfortable. They were all dysfunctional in some way or another. But like the relationship between Jake Johnson and Anna Kendrick was weird, and it was like he was obviously older than her, and it was this thing that where he was older than her. And
you think that he's older than her?
They allude to it in the story.
Yeah. It seems that he's several years older than she is.
Yeah, because she's like, yeah, he found me when I was just 21.
Yeah, but you don't know how long they've been together.
Right.
So they could have been together for 10 years.
I get the impression, though, I just, based on their relationship, I get the impression that he's older than her and she is starry-eyed because he's older than her. And it started that way, and he just kind of, I don't know, he didn't grow up at all, and she has started to, but she still kind of feels that way.
Well, also, she's also somewhat more better educated than he is, too. I mean, if you look in the fact, she's in one scene where he walks in, she's building this elaborate model.
Mm-hmm.
And she's got, if you look at her bookcase behind her, it's all these art and art books.
That doesn't mean educated. That just means you like art.
Well, let's put it this way.
Those aren't the same thing.
Well, I get the impression she's a little bit more widely read than he is.
Well, she's a teacher, too.
That still doesn't mean I'm educated. Just because you read books doesn't mean you're a smart person.
Well, in this case, I think it does.
I don't disagree with you. I'm just saying that I wouldn't use that as my evidence. I think she's a teacher, probably. Not only is she a teacher, but she's a special needs teacher.
She's a special needs teacher and doesn't... At one point, doesn't she mention going for a master's? Am I just imagining
that? Yes, she did. She said she had no master's, but she was working on it. Yeah. Because she was a special ed teacher.
But I think... I mean, there were other scenes that I think demonstrate, like... When Office Space is talking about Camus, like, you can see that she is interested in a way that this conversation does not normally happen to her, and she is excited that she actually gets to have it.
Office Space.
I can't remember that guy's name.
Ron Livingston?
There it is.
Yeah.
I wear an awkward amount of upskirts with these chicks in shorts,
that,
Tony.
That is true.
You're welcome.
That's very true.
Ninja eye rocking.
Yeah, the whole point when they go to the cabin... And it's, well, they have dinner, and it's obvious that, like, these couples are completely mismatched.
Yes.
And they should be matched the other way. And then they go to the cabin, and things get weird.
You know what's weird to me? It's weird to me that you think that Jake Johnson is the most immature of the group.
I don't think he's the most immature.
I think he's the most mature out of the group.
I don't think he's the most immature. I think that she is not, I think she's delusional in how she sees him.
I think she's delusional in how she sees a lot of things.
I think the most immature. I think the most immature. That's questionable.
Olivia Wilde.
Olivia Wilde easily. You think easily?
Easily.
Kate's character. Yeah.
Easily.
I don't think she's immature. I think she's someone who's basically kind of lost. I mean, she's doing a job. She's not. She's comfortable with it, but she does. She feels she's missing something.
Really? I think. Immature, like a hallmark of immaturity is how dishonest you are with yourself about what your situation is. That's what I think her entire arc of the movie is just.
That's true. That's a good point.
Her constant denial of, what am I doing here? Well, the only time that she is, ever honest with anybody about what's going on is the end when she gives him back the banana.
That was brilliant. That was fantastic. That was the best. I love the symbolism of that scene
where she gives him the fries. She makes the peace offering. Mm-hmm. He offers his dick. She returns it. He picks it up and throws it away. That's the symbolism there is beautiful.
Yeah, that ending scene is a masterpiece.
Because it just explains how their relationship is going to be forever. It's like, hey, look, I'm offering. We could still do this. You know what? Let's not. Okay, it's off the table forever. Let's just be buddies. And
you drinking buddies.
That was fantastic. I love that.
Yeah.
They're happy in their co-worker relationship, and they'll be drinking
buddies. And drinking buddies, yeah. Yeah, I thought that was great.
That's why I think he's the most mature out of all of them. Because he gives her the banana.
He gives her the banana.
Because he gives her the banana.
And he reacts in the reasonable way.
Yeah.
There's no
he gives her the banana as a frustration. Joke. Which I think is funny. Because he knows exactly what happened.
Sure.
And he's like, hey, we could, if we go about our relationship for the next 20 years and we never talk about this thing, it's just going to grow into this awful, it's going to become a thing when it's not really a thing. So we got to take the edge off of it right now, which is why the banana is hilarious.
I think she was also honest in the scene before that when at the end of the move,
mm-hmm.
where he's like, hey, we're going to go out, just the two of us. And she's like, no, we're going drinking. That's what I want to do now. And he's like, no, we agreed to do this. That's what grown-up responsible people do. And she's like, look, you've still got a girlfriend. Fuck you.
I don't know if I agree with that.
I think it's a little immature on her part.
I think the immaturity there is on her part again.
You think
where
so?
She has gotten herself into a situation where, like, so she has started this process, and as soon as someone's about to take the next step, she's like, whoa, this isn't what I want. Well, I don't know. Is it?
Yeah.
You don't seem to know what you want.
Well, she was, like, say, during the move scene when he was sleeping on the bed, she curled up right next to him. And then I thought this was a point.
So rapey.
I thought, you know, this is where the relationship's going. She's really starting to attach to him. And then it all suddenly fell apart at the very, very last over something so trivial.
But was it really trivial? I think her laying down in the bed with him was her approaching the relationship on her terms.
Mm-hmm.
When he got upset and possessive, that freaked her out.
Mm-hmm. I think that's because she'd never had anybody who was possessive. Her first boyfriend there, Chris, seemed to be kind of rather passive aggressive.
Yeah, that guy sucked.
Well, that's just it. I mean, that's it. She's never had any strong personality around her.
He seemed to be the kind of guy that was like, hey, I got this chick and she's hot. Oh, and Anna Kendrick's here. Wait a minute. She's also hot.
She is also hot.
And she's on my...
Johnson?
And intellectual level.
Yeah.
I think he was being an intellectual snob at that point also and kind of pushed Olivia Wilde to the side.
Listen, Tony, the ladies love when you bring up Sisyphus.
Well, yeah.
It's Sisyphus is the panty dropper.
It's that ball rolling it around.
That ball rolling downhill is just like the panties falling.
You pick them up and they slide right back down.
Over and over.
Oh. So that happened.
That's the symbolism. Up and down, up and down. Yeah. I don't know. I liked it because all these people had problems. Some of them were a lot more than others.
Yeah, like Anna Kendrick wasn't wearing makeup. She looked like she had Puffy's eyes. She looked really bad.
But she was still hot.
She was really hot still. Yeah. Melina's like, the chick's like 18. And I'm like, that chick is our age. No. And Olivia Wilde's like 40. Also, Olivia Wilde is younger than we are. No. Yeah, they are 28 and 29, respectively. That is younger than we are. Tony, can you imagine?
Olivia Wilde... I believed her as that drunken. She stayed drunk for the last half of the movie.
Tony, I got a real problem with this movie, and that's that? The amount of carbohydrates that are in beer.
She ate and drank like a fiend. And
I
she
know.
What I mean. There was not small. A. I think these people.
She was like, not drinking light beer.
Yeah, no. She should look like me if she drank that much beer. I mean, let's be honest.
Jake Johnson was appropriate. He looked like he should look.
I feel like he could have had some more weight on him.
He could have had more weight on him. I think all of his weight was in his beard.
Probably.
That was an epic fucking beard.
I mean, because, well, like, the Jews drank the beer when they were building Egypt. like, as a way...
To carbo load?
Yeah, to carbo load, because, you know, they were being worked to death.
Well, it was the only safe thing they could drink, too. Hey,
so we're going to stay drunk and get our calories in. Yeah, well, I mean,
you gotta get the calories in, because you're, you know, working and building a pyramid all day under the lash, right? I don't feel like Jake Johnson was putting in enough physical labor to work off the amount of beer he was constantly pouring in his face.
Well, lifting those casks takes a little strength.
I guess.
Yeah, but not to burn off the 1,000 calories worth of
40 pack a day. What else do I like about this, Tony? Tony, you know what was weird? They meet the dude, and then the next scene they're at the cabin. That was a weird transition that I did not like.
That was a jump.
I didn't like it. All I needed was a, hey, my family's got a cabin. Let's go on a vacation together. Okay.
If they would have had even one more scene where they were just hanging, the two out, couples were playing cards or, you know, doing at a bar together, anything, having dinner, anything.
To link the two scenes together.
Yeah. Yeah, because it did seem like a big jump that we meet him at that party for the, granted, it's for the brewery, but.
Now we're at his cabin.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah, that was a bit of a stretch.
The car ride home from the cabin is my average experience on the ride back from Gen Con. Two people in the back who just passed out. One person who looks shell-shocked in the passenger seat.
And then the driver.
Struggling to stay awake and not driving us off the road.
Who's so tired or so jazzed up, one of the two.
I was usually tired. Spent all night trying to get street sausage. God damn, I love street sausage. So I'm trying to lock down where exactly I find the relationship between Olivia Wilde and Jake Johnson go weird. And I don't know where it is. I don't know if it's actually at the move itself or before then.
No,
I can't decide.
I think it was right at the move. When he lost his temper.
What do you
temper,
mean by go weird?
There's a point where...
Where they're taking it to places they shouldn't take it as friends, or where they've taken it someplace and then it starts falling apart. Like they start to get
where
romantic.
It's too much. Like, I think Jake Johnson is the baseline here, where he starts getting weird about it, because she's just weird about everything.
Right.
So when he starts getting weird about it, I think it's as soon as he cuts his hand.
Yeah.
That's when I think it...
When he starts losing it because he gets injured and he starts having the fight with the other driver. Because then she starts seeing him not as the kind and gentle man she thought he was. He loses his temper too easily and he gets impatient with when she doesn't respond to help him.
She sees his passion.
Mm-hmm.
She sees how he is as a passionate person. In this case, it's passion toward beating the shit out of the guy who's pissing him off.
Well, not only pissing him off, but insulting her too.
Really? That's fantastic. Yeah, it did insult her because he didn't listen to her, because she was telling him to back off, let's just, you know, move on.
But quite frankly, if you were presented with that same scenario, you'd beat the shit out of the guy too.
That was an asshole.
I really probably wouldn't.
But I wouldn't beat the shit out of him, but I'd be like...
The scenario would be different, though.
Go away.
Because I would be like, why am I the only one helping you move?
Yeah.
Well, he probably assumed it was not going to be a very big job until he walked in the thing and saw the whole place was a complete mess.
That wasn't it.
They didn't want to do the cleanup before they could actually do the move.
He didn't want to call that dude that she boned.
I think I honestly think the relationship started to go into a weird place when he started helping her move.
Mm-hmm. I think it was before that, after she boned the dude and they, like, he found
out. Well, he didn't quite know that.
Oh, yeah, he did get weird there, too. Yeah. He got really
weird. That's what I'm struggling with. Because I have female friends
who,
if I found out they banged some dude.
Some random dude.
But it wasn't a random dude. He knew the dude.
Well, yeah.
And there are some female friends I've got that I found out they banged a dude.
And,
like,
and one thing he also
him?
Why did you do that?
Well,
him?
Especially.
And is it, and at
he
that
mentioned
point,
that the, he mentioned at one point, he says, I don't even like these guys.
Right.
But I have to work with them the next day.
Yeah. And at that point, you can still give him the benefit of the doubt. Is it jealousy, or is it him being disappointed in her for banging that guy?
Oh, hold on.
More like insecurity on his
part.
Let
me flip this around. I also have male friends that if they banged certain other females that I know, I'd be like, her?
Exactly.
Yeah, there we go.
Let's
phrase it that way.
All right, so you got, based on where the movie goes, eventually.
I have friends that if they banged other people I know, I'd be like, them? Just take the gender component out of it.
Yeah, it's... Is
some
it
people? It's weird.
Is it a jealousy thing? because
that guy was also a tool.
Well, it could be a jealousy thing, not because she's banging someone other than him, but it could be she's free. I'm in this relationship that I'm not committing to fully because I'm not deciding when to get married, which she really wants.
Yeah.
And so he's keeping that bit of commitment at arm's length.
I know what they were doing with that.
So, but... so at that point, him being upset could be jealousy that she's free to do that. Mm-hmm. It could be jealousy because he wanted to do her. It could be disappointment in her for banging that guy. It could, you know, or, you know, it was another guy. It's like, oh, that guy's all right. He's a reasonable person and you would do well with him. But that guy is an asshole. So, no, you really should not have done that. The nice thing is at that point in the movie, it could be any of those things.
And I don't get the feeling from subsequent scenes that, like, I don't think them having dinner together while What's-Her-Face is gone is weird.
Dinner together?
I don't think it was weird.
I don't think dinner together was weird. I think when they start, there was a level of intimacy that they showed when they were drinking together that moves beyond appropriate for somebody who's in a relationship.
Yeah.
It depends on the couple though too.
Almost all how much alcohol they've been having too.
And I don't know that it does go beyond what's appropriate for the
relationship.
Jake Johnson and Anna Kendrick, because she seems fine with the amount of time that he spends with her.
That's true. That's true.
Like, they go to the cabin, like, Anna Kendrick and Jake Johnson spend zero time together, and neither of them seem to have a problem with that. You want to go on a hike? No.
Well, yeah, that's true.
You're going on a hike. We're going to stay here, drink, and play card games.
That's a good point. Yeah, there's a...
But it's also, as couples, they also are pretty trusting to let them off go off with the other person. I mean, they're also, okay, I know you don't like hiking. Let's stay here and play cards. It's what makes you happy. I'm not going to force you to do something you don't want to do. I want to go. Hey, fine. I trust you to go into the woods with him.
I don't know. Ron Livingston's character just really struck me as a tool. So I was under the impression that the two of them going off on the hike together was kind of happy that it was happening that way so he could make his move.
I didn't get the feeling that he was going to make a move, but I just looked at it like the first thing when they show them walking and talking, the first thing that he starts talking about is bitching about Olivia Wilde.
Yeah.
So I kind of thought that was just his plan. I want to bitch about Olivia Wilde, which...
No, man. Like, all right, I never got that impression.
First off, you're dating up, so why don't you calm it down over there a little bit? Although I did like him listening to her vagina awkwardly while she was reading that book. What's going on here? Maybe it had something interesting to say. She's a princess.
The thing was, and during that one scene in the forest, he didn't make the move on her. She made the move on him.
Listen, when you go on a picnic in the forest and a chick opens her backpack and inside are two wine glasses, that slut wants it.
Mm-hmm.
She wants it hard.
She's well prepared.
That's consent. That's everything right there. Okay. She knows what's going on. She has set up this scene, and she's seducing your ass. It is time.
Never thought of it that way.
Well, how many times have you been on a picnic in the woods where the chick pulls out two wine glasses from her backpack?
Can't say it's happened.
Well, then. All right, then.
Yeah, she pulled out a pack of Trojans, it would be really obvious.
Depends on the size. Too big or too small. She's making fun of you.
Yes. Oh, these are an assortment.
These magnums are too big for you. We just can't do anything. What are you doing?
We fill them up full of water and throw them off the roof at people.
I don't know that I would do that. Tony, I watched Fight Club again the other night. Still fantastic.
It's a good movie.
It's so good.
All of the actors chose their characters' names.
Well, since I don't know what any of them are.
Yeah.
That Luke, doesn't mean anything Jill. To me. Jill? Like, female masturbation?
Kate?
Ron Livingston's character did not appear in the last third of the movie, but he had the characters refer to him in order to make the audiences wonder whether he and Jill started an affair.
I didn't wonder, I just assumed.
I kind of did too.
I assumed that the entire trip to Costa Rica was just him her going off to bang this dude.
That's what I thought too. So, or him joining her there or something.
Something weird.
Yeah.
And then we were led a red herring. She never even made it there.
Ron Livingston arrived in Chicago one day before he was scheduled to work, but then received a call telling him that the filming was ahead of schedule, so that he would be working that day and that he would be filming the quote-unquote breakup scene. Livingston knew that his character had a relationship with Olivia Wilde's character and to a certain extent with Anna Kendrick's character too. So when he arrived on set, he had asked the director which one of the two he was breaking up with and why.
Give him high marks for being very flexible.
Anna Kendrick, trivia. George Clooney mocked her on the set of their movie Up in the Air because she was flying from and to this set to Twilight's filming at the same time.
Wow.
For her Oscar-nominated performance in Up in the Air, she was flying back and forth to... That's hilarious.
That's wild, considering the two of these movies, how...
How different they are.
Yeah, yeah, how disparate they are.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I had heard that the movie was improvised before I watched it.
I hadn't. I didn't know.
And that was good to know.
Mm-hmm.
Spoiler, the movie was improvised. There was no script. The only thing the actors and crew had a vague outline of the plot and the order in which certain events would take place. And they just winged the rest of it.
They did a pretty good job for winging it.
They did. It made me appreciate the movie as I was watching it, knowing that.
Because it accidentally worked, unlike Your Highness, which did not work.
I still have not seen that.
It's also completely improvised.
Yeah, I've heard that.
I like that style. Style feels natural to me.
It does. There's certain things that really work in that style and certain things that don't. Julie watches this show, Parenthood, and it feels like it's improvised just because the characters all talk over each other constantly. But I don't... At the same time, it doesn't feel improvised because the dialogue's a little too snappy when they're all talking over each other and they're saying, you know, opposing things but talking over each other and they're having a conversation. It's supposed to be like real life.
Aww.
And it's like, it just, I think I'm so used to and wired to watching television where person A talks, person B talks, person C talks. And unless there's a really good, clever reason for people to talk over each other,
it doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen.
Yeah.
I mean, I know podcasts where they do that. Like, they are very strict about...
No crosstalk, Tony!
I got burned because I crosstalked when I was at another podcast. And there was no crosstalk, and I didn't know that.
Did you have to make out with a foot or something afterwards?
Boot.
Oh. Gross.
It's uncomfortable. It's not natural. In that case, it wasn't natural. But I'm so trained to... On television and movies, there really isn't a whole lot of crosstalk. But on that show, they like thrive on their crosstalk, and it's unnerving to me to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even watch it. It's like she puts it on in the morning when I'm getting ready, and jumble. It's like, oh, it drives me crazy. So,
yeah, but not every actor can improvise that fast.
No,
so, very few actors.
These aren't improvising, right. but that's the feel they're trying to go for. That's with the thing, though.
Very few actors can pull that off.
Right, right.
There are some actors who just cannot work without a script and feel terribly lost. I mean, this crew was very good at doing it.
It's a Philip Seymour Hoffman joke, Daryl. Too soon.
Yes.
Too soon, Daryl.
Hey, needle in the arm. No sympathy.
That's insensitive.
Not meant to be.
Addiction is a disease.
I hear you kind of lose sensitivity with heroin, so.
Overdose is stupidity.
I'm kind of with you there.
Still a disease.
It is a disease. It's a terrible loss. He did himself. Whoa.
It's not a terrible loss. He's just a dude who acted in movies.
It's a terrible loss. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Are we really gonna get the rest of the Hunger Games the way it's supposed to be?
I don't feel like he was in the next movies as much as people are gonna.
My niece already checked because she's such a ridiculous fan of the Hunger Games, and apparently he was already done with his scene.
Oh, was he?
And he was already done with his scenes for the next movie.
Scene.
No. The scenes for the next movie, and apparently he wasn't in the last one at all.
Good.
So,
hey, I didn't think this was gonna be a big
no.
Molina was really worried about it. I'm like, you mean to tell you how much he's in? No spoilers. I'm like,
He's a good actor. He was a good actor, I guess.
Now we have to do a Philip Seymour Hoffman movie.
We've done quite a few of them.
Yeah, but he wasn't dead then.
How long ago did we do Hunger Games though?
Only about a few weeks ago.
That was pretty close for recently dead guy.
Wasn't it 200?
300.
300.
Yeah. This was about a month ago, a month and a half ago.
Well, it was like early December, wasn't it?
It was right before Christmas.
Yeah.
Because this is 305.
Yeah. And that was Panda. Mm-hmm. He's got a new tag on, so he's making noise now.
What a hussy.
He's showing off the bling.
If we do Along Came Polly, that's probably his greatest movie.
I don't think I saw that one.
It's fantastic.
The way you're saying that, I don't know if I trust you.
He plays a washed-up child actor who's like, he has nothing going on, so he hires a film crew to do a documentary of himself and follow him around.
I have not seen this movie, but it sounds great.
It's pretty fantastic. I'll just spoil the best scene he's got in the movie. He's at a party, and he comes up to Ben Stiller's like, we gotta go. I just sharted. The look of revulsion on Ben Stiller's face is the best thing ever. And then they leave. Oh, man. God, I love that movie. Also, Tony.
The Master. We haven't done The Master. He was in that.
Well, that's bullshit. Wasn't that nominated for an Oscar last year?
It wasn't nominated for the big one. It was nominated for, like, writing or something.
Yeah. Best original screenplay.
Yeah.
Oh, so that's not nominated then.
The Master's kind of is an acquired taste. It's
it's a Paul Thomas Anderson movie.
Little PTA, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Pound that ass. I got nothing. So Melina and I this weekend went to go see Dallas Buyers Club, which is nominated for the best picture.
To see that movie. It looks fantastic.
It is fantastic, and both Matthew McConaughey and Jared Leto are nominated for Best and Supporting Actor, respectively.
That's good pedigree.
If both of them won those awards, I would not be disappointed in who they gave the awards to. Mm. Granted, I have not seen any of the other nominees, but their performances. So when we got back from the movie, I was trying to quantify how I felt about the movie to Melina, and so I was like, so a movie generally excels at one of three things. Either the acting in the movie is fantastic, the movie is a technical marvel, or the plot of the movie is good, like complex, like Fight Club. The plot of Fight Club is very good.
Yep.
It is shot well and in such a way that everything is foreshadowed so that when you go back through it, I mean, it is really noticeable the second time around.
It's also deliciously meta in that the way they throw this the porn scenes in there and stuff like that.
Throw the porn scenes in there, and like it's just like, so Meatloaf meets Edward Norton on the street, and he's like, have you heard about the guy who started this? He gave us a great gift. Do you know about Tyler Durden? So the next scene, after he and Meatloaf get into a fight, they're walking out and Meatloaf's, thank you for this. Like, it's clever. Like, the context is, oh, thank you for the fight. But that's not what he's saying. Like, the context is real clever.
Thank you for the Fight Club.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, thank you for all of this. Thank you for what you've done. So, I mean, it's very, like, the movie is, I don't want to say plot because it's not plot, but the story is engaging and told in such a way that when it's done, there's an accomplishment to the storytelling.
And what you're talking about, I think there's a handful of movies that you can point to that have done very clever, interesting storytelling,
mm-hmm.
that really worked with the story you're telling. Sometimes you can do clever storytelling that's just clever for the sake of being clever. But then there's times that it's clever for the story you're telling. This is an occasion. Fight Club is a good example.
Fight Club is a great example.
Memento.
Memento's good.
The Sixth Sense.
Yeah. Yeah. All of those movies that kind of have that there is a true spoiler to the movie.
Right. Right.
Like, they pull one over on you. Inception was really clever in that fashion. I don't know that it was, like, Fight Club clever in a technical perspective, but the story was compelling and insisted upon itself. It was layered.
Yes, yeah.
Plot is not the word I want to use there. A story
It's like the storytelling device.
Yeah, the storytelling, it excels at storytelling.
Yeah.
So, Dallas Buyers Club excelled, like, the story was good. And the acting was fantastic. I mean, the technical aspects of the movie were non-existent. It was just a movie.
Straightforward
story,
yeah.
It did not detract. But this movie, I don't feel like the plot was anything overly special. And there was no... this movie actually kind of looked like shit. So the technical aspects weren't that great either.
And you're talking again about Drinking Buddies.
Yeah, now I'm talking about Drinking Buddies. But, like, the human element of it, the acting, I thought was fantastic. Like, I thought, like, they were believable as these people. Like, I thought Olivia Wilde was this flighty, crazy bitch.
Yeah.
And Jake Johnson just was, like, I actually know a dude named Jake who, like, his character reminded me of the entire movie. Like, and it's like I feel like I'm projecting my childhood friend onto Jake Johnson, even with that ridiculous goddamn beard.
That was a ridiculous beard.
And his fiance kind of looks like Anna Kendrick.
Wow.
But I have to go to his wedding, which sucks. I hate going to weddings.
I felt bad for Jake Johnson in that he was torn for at least a few minutes. He was torn between Anna Kendrick, who was pretty great, except for the fact that she kissed that other guy. But he didn't know that at the time. And that Olivia Wilde's kind of a flake. She's kind of a drunk. She's kind of a flake. She kind of doesn't know what she wants.
You have a problem with Anna Kendrick's character.
She was a little bit too wimpy.
I feel like a lot of the things she did were masking some other crazy. Like, we didn't see all the crazy she had to show. Like, that wedding conversation was weird.
What was weird was how easy she let that go. Like, if she was really that hung up on getting married, I feel like she would have been more insistent, more bitchy about him putting it off.
Well, no, it's part of her personality. She's not a very forceful personality.
I don't know.
That's the thing. She's the female version of Chris. That's why Chris and her were kind of drawn to each other.
I don't know that.
Granted, she's a little passive aggressive there.
So is Chris.
Chris is passive aggressive too. But they both have kind of a similar background. That's why they tended to attract to each other there.
So, all right. So I said before. Whereas
Jake and Kate are pretty much similar too. They're rather easily excitable. They're spontaneous. And that's why they're such a good mix.
So,
plus they drink like fish. So.
Well, yeah, there's that. When I said something to the effect where I felt like when what probably happened when Anna Kendrick and Jake Johnson got together, she was kind of looking up to him when they got together. And I kind of can see Chris and Olivia Wilde's character, Ron Livingston and Olivia Wilde's characters being the same way. Like, man, she's hot. I'm lucky to be with her because she's hot. And then he realizes that later that that she's not really the kind of person that he should be with.
I kind of feel like Olivia Wilde showed up, drank some beer, banged him, and then left. I don't know what else he could possibly want. Tony, that's the best of all worlds.
For him, yes.
He didn't even have to feed her.
I think he wanted something different than that.
I know he wanted something
different. He wanted Anna Kendrick.
But that's because he's crazy. He can have her dioramas.
He could. Yeah, I don't know. I feel there's some, the more we're talking about it, the more I'm thinking about it, I think there's more parallels to their relationship than I originally thought of. I mean, it just seems like you're just reversing genders across those two relationships.
Yeah.
As far as the kind of people they are.
Well, yeah. Insert rod A in the slot B.
Yeah. Bangity, bangity, bangity. Need some oil so it doesn't bang so hard. It's just an engine. Where are you going with this?
No, where are you going with it? Lubrication just means that you can bang all the harder.
It's smoother. Less impact.
Less friction.
You kind of want some friction.
Sand.
I don't know. I enjoyed the experience of watching this movie. I was halfway through it. I was like, I don't understand where this is going. I'm in for the ride, but I don't understand where this is going.
I didn't know where I was going either.
The last scene sold it for me.
Yeah, I was
fine. And it was like, it was even up to that point when they're walking through the when she's walking through and he's just standing there and she's like, you know, like not reacting to it. I still didn't understand what the resolution of this movie was until they sat down and had the meal and did the banana thing. And it was like, I'm fine. This movie is over and I'm happy with how it's resolved.
I'm pissed we didn't get to see Jake Johnson's dick. I bet it had a majestic dick beard.
Probably would have had to have one hell of an American. After that face beard that he had.
It would have been pubes, beard, then Merkin.
Yeah.
The beard has a Merkin.
The beard just continued on down.
Braided into, interwoven to the
Merkin. Chest is out of control.
There's just the landing strip starts at his lower lip and goes all the way down.
Could wear his Merkin like a kilt. Tony, I saw previews for the movie Pompeii, and it looks so goddamn bad.
I saw trailers for things exploding. And I was like, I don't understand why I should care.
So it's like they looked, they're like, well, Spartacus is popular. What is Spartacus doing wrong that we can do in a movie?
Titanic.
Yeah, we need explosions and giant waves. Let's get rid of the way that they do the dialogue because it sounds like Latin and no one wants the dialogue. Although the dialogue in Spartacus is really good because they do it Latin style. And they have expressions like, by Jupiter's cock. I mean, come on.
I think I need to start watching Spartacus.
It's really good. And like, it perfectly captures the excessive violence and sex in Roman culture. It's fantastic.
That's good.
All around. And then they put Mr. Echo in it.
Oh.
For some reason. I don't know, because we can't have a movie without black people, otherwise people get upset.
I don't understand the need for a movie about Pompeii.
There is none.
It's what story are you going to tell?
A human story.
But there's not, I mean, there's not going to be any survivors.
Oh, yeah, there were survivors. But they're all got scattered.
Not really. I mean, not that it's worth talking about.
I agree. I mean, it was a point in history, but like I said, it didn't really change much of anything.
Yeah. I mean, unless you're telling a very specific story of people who know it's coming and are fleeing it. But I don't know. Really, did they know?
There could be an interesting story there.
Yes, it is.
But the amount of waves crashing in on the city I saw in the preview only indicates to me that they are not doing anything interesting or worthwhile.
I mean, it just seems like the best story you could tell out of that was told in the first 20 minutes of Man of Steel. We're going to send our child away to get it away from this destruction. Done.
It doesn't pass the up test. If your movie isn't better than the first 5 minutes of Up, don't make it.
Don't even try. Man, there would not be many movies made.
No, there would not. Man, the Up test is rough.
That is rough.
Well, it's the same thing for novels. If you can't grab your reader in the first few paragraphs or first chapter, I mean, there's no point going on.
Well, I don't know. Is there hardcore sex past the first chapter? Because I'll probably stumble through. Actually, this is how I feel about Tale of Two Cities, which I have never finished, because that book is the worst book ever written. That's not true. Never. The Fountainhead is the worst book ever written.
Oh, yes. Never read that either.
Spare yourself.
I read it to write a paper on it to submit for college scholarship money.
Mm.
And then after I read it and submitted my paper, I was like, I don't even want this money.
This is what I gotta do.
This book has cost me more than any money I would ever win. Oof. Luckily, that wasn't a problem.
Wow.
Fuck you, Howard Roark. God damn, that movie starts with a naked red-haired man on a cliff. Goes downhill from there.
Mm.
But Tony's an architect. It's the worst.
Sounds like it.
Ayn Rand is the worst.
Sounds rough. I don't even know what it's about, so
Ayn Rand.
Yeah,
it's
Ayn Rand. That.
Save your time and just go to the
wiki. I can tell you exactly what it's about.
Just read the Wikipedia article and spare yourself the rest of it.
No, I think I'm just going to finish watching season 2 of Luther instead.
There you go.
You should.
I only have 2 episodes left.
You know who Luther isn't? Ayn Rand.
Imagine not.
But I bet he would bang the shit out of her.
No, he wouldn't.
Yeah, he would.
No.
First off, listen. Idris Elba does not discriminate based on political affiliations, race, gender, religious affiliation, sexual orientation.
It's not even Idris Elba, but
terrible personality.
Fucking Luther.
Luther is awesome.
That dude, man.
Like, he's talking and then he's that squint and then you know it's on.
I really like what they're doing in season 2 with the psychologist taking over the team. And he's like, look. He's like, so I guess I'm in trouble now. Why? You saved a bus full of kids. That's what you were supposed to do. I like that guy.
God damn it, Luther.
Ugh. I'm running out of stuff to watch.
You gotta get yourself to the theater so we can talk about Dallas Buyers Club.
I do.
Melina drugged me to it, and I didn't want to go.
Now you're glad you did.
Well, now I am. I'm glad I did, but I didn't know what the topic of the movie was before I got there.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Oh, wow.
I didn't know anything about it.
Well, Melina's like, I want to see because Jared Leto's in it. You get nominated for Best Supporting Actor.
All right, fine, whatever. We get there.
Jared Leto plays a transgender?
I can't remember. Transgender or transvestite? I think he was pre-op transgender. And then he was really good. And I was like, all right. I'll spoil it.
I'll see it.
Well, all the others here shortly.
Yeah.
I also want to see her.
Mm-hmm.
my Arrested Development hers. That's the best joke I got.
Siri's very jealous of her.
Siri's a slut.
Mm-hmm.
I asked her and she said, yes, I am.
I'll take your hard drive for a spin.
Hard drives.
That's right. She's solid state.
So what'd you think of that Super Bowl?
Come on, Tony.
It was a Super Bowl?
You were surprisingly quiet that day.
Hold on. Do you really want my analysis of the Super Bowl? Because I got a lot of analysis.
Yeah, I want to hear what you have to say.
Let me start this off the right way.
Regardless of everything that happened before.
I read Ryan Dancy's long analysis of what happened. And it's obvious to me that Ryan Dancy represents this now vocal minority of people who did not watch football prior to the Super Bowl, who are Seahawks fans, who now have an in-depth analysis of football to give everyone.
Mm.
Here's what did not happen at the Super Bowl. The Seahawks did not win the Super Bowl. They didn't.
The Seahawks capitalized on the mistakes of...
That also happened, but the Seahawks defense won the Super Bowl. When the debate is, what is it better to have? The best offense or the best defense? The answer is the best defense. You know why? Because the defense performs two functions. It keeps you the other team from getting points, but also can score points, which happened. Half of the Seahawks' points in that game were from the defense. That's a ridiculous amount of points from a defense in any game.
And what wasn't from the defense wasn't a good portion of them from the special teams?
No.
Between field goal and kick return.
The defense can't get a field goal. The kick return was special teams.
But isn't field goal special teams?
Yeah, I guess.
But what I'm saying is it's not offense.
It wasn't offense. In fact,
field goals are not offense.
The defense forced the safety. So right. 2 points right there. Then the Broncos are forced to kick the ball off to the Seattle offense. Mm-hmm. Seattle offense closes on the end zone, can't capitalize, has to kick a field goal.
Right. So special teams.
Defense intercepts the ball. Offense gets the ball back with ridiculous field position. Offense can't capitalize, has to kick another field goal. Somewhere in there, there's an interception return for a touchdown. And then somewhere also in there, there's a punt return for a touchdown. Yeah. That's a ridiculous amount of points from the defense.
None of that is offense.
None of that is offense.
It's all defense or special teams.
Yeah, if you look at the offensive numbers for the day, they're equivalent. Like, Peyton Manning had a better day than Russell Wilson.
It makes sense, except for the fact that he was throwing interceptions.
Except for the interceptions.
Which were bad.
Yeah.
And then there were times that ridiculous things happened, like somebody intercepted the ball, and then there's five guys around him, and nobody can even touch him as he's being spun around twice. What?
So Dancy's analysis goes on to conclude that the mistake was Roger Goodell and the NFL's for hyping the Manning story because people want a hero. They don't want to root for the underdog. But this is what baffles me about the Seahawks to begin with. At no point are the Seahawks the underdog team in the Super Bowl. They have the only thing that they have that is the underdog is, on average, their team is younger than the Broncos. They went 16-1. That's almost a perfect season.
Yeah.
The Broncos went like 15-1 or 14-2 or something like that. Maybe it was even 13-3. I think they had a couple losses in there. Okay, so their offense set records. Great. The Seattle defense set just as many records, I'm sure.
Seattle defense came to play, and they did a fantastic job with what they were supposed to do. And Denver offense made some colossal errors.
Yeah.
Just stupid mistakes.
Yeah. So on any given day, your best offense and your best defense, you have this range. You're going to perform, like you've got an average, which is your average performance. You're going to perform 50% below or 50% above that, somewhere in that 100% range.
Yep.
So the defense showed up and they performed their 150.
Yep.
The Seattle defense is dominating.
They were fantastic. They were really good.
They were as good as they were all season. Like they were an incredible defense all season. In fact, even before this whole, you know, the playoffs started, it's going to be a Seahawks-Broncos Super Bowl. Everyone knew it was coming.
Yeah.
The Seahawks were dominating, and their defense was a huge factor in that. So I don't think that there was an underdog story here to tell. I think that they gravitated to tell the Manning story for, you know, whatever reason, because he's 42 or 37 or 38 or whatever.
This is his last chance.
I don't even think it's his last chance. He's not retiring. My dad's like, well, he's going to retire after this. I'm like, why?
The best part was like in the third or fourth quarter,
at one point they pan up to the booth and they show Eli, and he looks like somebody ripped the puppy out of his hand and stomped on it.
I was like, it was this mixture. It was like
so sad.
This is the worst thing ever. But it was like, hey, this is how my whole season was. So I don't know. Like, what I don't think people in Seattle understand is that we didn't want Manning to win. We wanted the Seahawks to lose because Pete Carroll, Golden Tate, and Russell Wilson are dicks. Like, Pete Carroll is a dick, and Golden Tate is a dick. Russell Wilson is a dick just because he plays for the Seahawks, but he's probably an okay guy otherwise. We wanted the Seahawks to lose.
All right, so last two very important questions about the Super Bowl. What did you think of the halftime show?
That was fine. I don't know. I don't really give a shit about Bruno Mars. But I did like seeing Chili Peppers up there because I was watching the dude shred the guitar, which is all that I stare at now in musical performances. And it was nice to see, like, an actual guitarist. Like, I wish I could go back and watch the Tom Petty Super Bowl show because I'd like to watch him.
I bet that's out there somewhere.
I'm sure it is. They got everything on that internet.
Yeah.
But otherwise, it was an
amazing
right.
thing. Favorite commercial? Any thoughts?
Oh, they had the dog breeding one was probably the best one they had.
The Dober Wawa.
Yeah.
Dober Wawa was good.
That was probably the best.
I liked that one. I liked Gracie, the little Cheerios girl. It was the FU to the one that they did 6 months to a year ago.
And they pulled it because of copyright things?
No. Oh. No, it was Cheerios did a commercial where this little girl goes up to her dad and dumps Cheerios on his chest.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's
like, Gracie, what are you doing? And it's like, Mom said this says that it's
good for
your heart. And she poured it right on his chest. And then they show Mom and she's white.
Yeah, the biracial couple.
And
yeah.
The little girl's biracial and the mom's white. People threw a fit about it.
Yeah, come on. That they couldn't handle the fact
that they couldn't handle it. So Cheerios made a follow-up commercial with the same family.
Really?
And it was on the Super Bowl. It was their Super Bowl commercial. It was great because the dad's sitting there with the little girl and he's like, Gracie, you know, our family is daddy. And he puts it to Cheerio and Gracie and mommy. And soon you're going to have a little brother. And at this point, they pan back and they show Mom, who is probably about 7 months pregnant. She's just like really pregnant. And the little girl looks at him, grabs a Cheerio and slides it over into the stack and a puppy. And the look she gives him is just amazing. Like, this is not up for debate. And he's like, okay. And they show Mom and she's like, what? It's a great commercial.
That's good.
That's mostly just an F you to all those racist idiots. So
well, that was a scandal one. With the Coke commercial.
I love the Coke commercial. I thought it was great.
I thought it was, you know what? I didn't realize they were singing another language. I was like, why did the audio quality get really bad now? Because I can't understand what they're saying.
Oh, it's a different language.
It's a different language. All right, so then I got over it because it's like, I don't really, like that nationalist shit doesn't really, I don't care about that. That doesn't impact me. But then seeing people who are like, oh, Coke is a terrorist organization. Come on. What is wrong with you?
You know what's, relax. What's weird is I didn't see any of that. No one in my feeds of any type had that reaction.
Me neither.
But I got all these straw man people who apparently collected people who were idiots saying this stuff. And yeah, that's how I knew about it.
Then I found out.
That's weird.
I'm like, come on. I could have been so much better off not knowing this existed. Just assuming that it would have been fine.
Mm-hmm.
Just going about my day and then just never having known that this was a thing.
Yeah. I think the funniest is how people were complaining that Coke ruined the national anthem.
Yeah, that's the worst.
Because it's not the national anthem.
That's the worst.
But
I liked that my dad was complaining during the national anthem about people who don't take their hats off or cover their hearts during the national anthem to my father-in-law, who doesn't do that because witnesses don't do that.
Oh, yeah. That's funny.
I don't know. I don't think he knew either.
Your dad didn't know? That's awesome.
What are you doing, Dad? Come on. But so hilariously, like, I don't know, Ernie has like an ear infection or something, so he couldn't hear out of his left ear. So I had no end of fun with that all day. Like, Melina would just be talking to him, and he would just completely ignore him because he was turned the wrong way. It was funny. Oh,
that's fantastic.
Old people's medical problems are funny.
All right, I got nothing else.
I got nothing else either.
We're done.
All right, next week, Amelie, yay more reading movies.
Yes.
But I think you'll enjoy it.
I bet Amelie wants it.
Probably.
Maybe.
Good night.
See ya.